Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. She said it would take her longer to get up here than it would to read. She would have hurt foot. The scripture is about faith, about increasing our faith, and about Jesus trying to get his apostles to understand that when he's gone, they needed to use their faith in the way that he has used his faith. So really, what is faith? It's a word that we throw around all the time, but what does it really mean to us? Well, when I was studying and looking at this scripture, I took one of Prince's, my dog's, balls, and I put it on a table, and I sat there and said, and tried to make that ball move. 5, 10, 15 minutes, the ball never moved. Then I realized, I'm not using faith, I'm trying to use something that we have referred to as mind control or telekinesis. It doesn't work. Telekinesis is the ability to move objects or to bend objects with your mind. And we've seen people on TV bend the spoon. Well, it's not really true. It is always just a parlor trick. By the way, though, you can go to the internet and find, and they say they will teach you how to perform telekinesis. Of course, as I said, it doesn't work, but it does work to one extent. It will remove money from your wallet and put it in their wallet. There's really a difference in mind control and faith. And where did this idea come from that if you have enough faith, you can move mountains or you can cast a bush into the sea? It comes, of course, from the teachings of Jesus. We find it just after the strange little story of Jesus cursing the fig tree. And I always find that one of the most interesting stories. And if you've ever had a fig tree and able to take a fresh fig off, they are so delicious. They're not like what we might buy and come in the store. Matthew tells us that it was early in the morning and Jesus was on his way to the city and he was hungry. And there was no food for him, didn't have food, so seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, expecting there would be figs on it during this time of year, but it didn't have any figs. So he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. I always thought that was very strange. I could see him kind of angry at the tree in a bad moment. We all have those moments, and he cursed it. Maybe they come back a month later, or 2 months, or 3 months, and the fig tree is dead. But immediately, it began to wither. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did this fig tree wither so quickly? And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to the mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done." That, of course, was Jesus' way of saying that with faith, you can do very amazing things. The disciples saw Jesus do amazing things. Now he was instructing them in the things he needed them to do after he was gone, after he had ascended into heaven. This worried the disciples. How could they possibly do any of the things that he was telling them to do? Maybe he had faith to move mountains, but certainly they did not have that same faith. They were still spiritual infants. They couldn't move a rubber ball, much less a mountain. In Luke's gospel, we read that the apostles came to the master and said, "Increase our faith." It sounds to me like almost a desperate plea. "Hey, Lord, you're asking us to love people that we would normally hate. You're asking us to forgive people who have hurt us. You're asking us to feed the hungry. How can we do that when you're not with us? How can we move the mountains of faith all around us when we don't have the faith that you have?" And Jesus replied to them, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry bush or tree, be uprooted and thrown in the sea, and it will obey you. Well, what did Jesus mean by faith as small as a mustard seed? Well, the mustard seed was known for a small size, yet it grew into one of the largest bushes in the area. Now try to picture a mustard seed lying in your hand. It's very, very small. Now imagine the potential for growth. Faith is like that, a little tiny, tiny seed that you water, that you nourish, that you plant in the ground, and it begins to grow and bloom. Well, what is faith that has so much power? Faith is like a doctor telling you that if you're going to get a shot, it will not hurt. And many of you say, that's not true. But a shot's always going to hurt. Well, no, if you have faith, if you relax your arm, relax your muscles, you take that shot, most shots will not hurt you. You won't even really feel them. It's the anxiety, and it's becoming tense that causes the real pain. The faith that Jesus was describing is so much more than something like that. You cannot borrow someone's faith. I remember when I was a little boy, and of course we didn't have much money, and my mother didn't work because she was sick, and you know, four kids at home. And oftentimes she would send me across the street to Mrs. Jones and said, take this cup and go get a cup of sugar. And she would always give a cup of sugar, a cup of flour, whatever it was, I'd bring it back to the house. But you cannot go out and borrow someone else's faith. It has to be your faith. Now, surrounding yourself with people of faith can help you increase your faith, but it has to be your faith, your belief in God that moves forward. But really, what is faith? Is faith really an attitude? Is it the same thing as positive thinking? Attitude is very important. Our attitudes can help us deal with reality in a very effective way. By changing our attitude, we can change the level of our confidence in ourselves, which can help us steady when we're facing a very difficult or trying situation in our life. And coaches always understand that, a good coach. When a team is down by 2 touchdowns, we see it all the time. A coach on the sidelines can inspire his team that maybe is not as talented and knock off a high-ranked team, maybe that is undefeated. An inspired team can overcome a better team and go on to victory. Study just shown that attitudes are powerful, and attitudes can be life-changing, but they can also have a different effect when they're misguided. There's an old story, and I know I shared this. I'm recycling a few stories, wondering if people remember them, so you tell me if you remember this. About an old man who walked with a cane, and one time some of his mischievous friends snuck the cane away from him, and they sawed off a little bit of the cane. He didn't notice it. Day goes by, they do it again, until finally he says to his friends, you know, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I think I'm getting taller. Well, he wasn't getting taller. His cane was simply getting shorter. His perception had been changed, but not the reality of what was going on in the situation. Jesus was talking about something much more powerful than a changed attitude. Though having a changed attitude is a very important part of our authentic faith. But what is it that makes positive attitudes sustainable? Positive attitudes are a result of a confidence about our lives that comes from faith. The idea that behind this universe, behind all of creation, behind our very life is a loving, powerful God. You know, when I lived in Myrtle Beach, and some of you will probably find this hard to believe since I'm not a morning person, but when I lived there, I used to like to get up very early, go out on the beach. I was just 3 rows back. So I'd get up, walk out to the beach, sit there just in the sand, no towel, no chairs, and I would watch the sun start to come up. And it is an awe-inspiring thing to witness, because you're looking out over that horizon. There's no trees, anything to block it. Now, you can't see it very long, but you can't stare at the sun. But at first it's like orange, and you can look at it for just a little while. Then you have to avert your eyes. Now, when I'm sitting there, and this never happened to me, but I wanted to be in the moment and enjoy the beauty of that moment. But what if someone had come up to me and sat beside me and started saying, "Well, you know, the sun really doesn't rise. It's all about the earth rotation and blah, blah, blah," and all those scientific facts. At that moment, I could not care less about the scientific facts. I cared about the God behind what was going on. So my experience could have been ruined. In his book, 450 Stories for Life, Gus Anderson tells about visiting a church in a farming community in Canada. We had lived for 8 years of drought. Can you imagine that? Not raining for 8 years. 1 year might not be too bad, but 8 continuous years, and you make your living by farming and growing crops. The farmers by this time were deep in debt, and their situation looked very hopeless. In spite of their poverty, many of them continued to meet for worship and prayer, because a lot of people, when these circumstances come and the trials and tribulations, the first thing that they do is turn away from God and say, "There's no God. God doesn't love me. I don't love God anymore." But that's the very moment that we need to hold on tighter to God and increase our faith. Anderson was especially impressed by one of the testimonies of one of the older farmers. The man stood up and quoted from the Old Testament. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Beautiful. That farmer had found what real faith and joy is about. And joy comes partly from having a positive attitude. Can a positive attitude be sustained through endless years of 8 years of crop failures and drought and financial troubles? I don't think so, because sooner or later you have to face the reality of the situation. But faith in a loving God is reality. If you are grounded in the knowledge that regardless of our circumstances, God has not forsaken us, God has not left us, not forgot us, then we can endure any hardship, overcome any obstacle that comes our way. And should we feel called by God to turn the world upside down, then we will begin to discover what real and powerful faith is. You know, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that faith is a very powerful force. Disciples felt their knowledge was too weak to accomplish all the things that Jesus was asking them to do. Jesus assured them that they did have enough faith. And the Bible says that each person has been given a measure of faith. So you have it. They simply needed to exercise their faith and trust in an almighty God. What really mattered is not the size of their faith, but the size of their God. Because we still, even though we believe in God, even though we come to church and we worship, we still often, too often, put the onus on ourselves instead of looking to God to sustain us and to help us, to revive us, to move us forward in our lives or as a church. A little faith in a great God can change your life, it can change a church, it can change the world. Faith is a matter of aligning our lives with the purposes of God in the same way that a magnet aligns itself with the north and south poles. If you want to see mountains moved or mulberry bushes thrown into the sea, align yourself with the purposes of God. That's when your faith is action. When we're asking God, "Well, what do you want?" then we can put our faith into full power. But if we're pulling away from God and we want something different, it's just not going to happen. Again, it has nothing to do with the size of our faith, but with the size of our God. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will happen. So I ask you, I ask myself, ask us as individuals, as a church at Glenshaw Valley, how about it? Can we have a little faith in God? Can we begin to use the faith that we already have in our lives to move forward, to do something for God? If so, then I think we can get ready for miracles. Mountains, mulberry trees, even rubber balls can be moved if we believe, if we just simply act on the amount of faith that we already have. May God bless you. Amen.